What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm excited. Basketball is only a week, not really basketball, but basketball transaction period is only a week away.
Wait. You can have trades before the draft, can't you? Can you?
I think we should stop the podcast right now.
Moving on. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
You know what? Just to know that there's going to be basketball in a month's time, how can you not be happy? It's probably going to be the greatest Christmas of all time.
The greatest.
With basketball coming back, you know that means fantasy, and I have to redeem my 0-30 regular season last year. So, lot to look forward to.
Is this an asterisk fantasy situation this year?
Why would it be an asterisk?
It's only 72 games. There's going to be so many different COVID situations.
I want to see where LeBron goes. Where is LeBron going to go top 10? We're assuming LeBron sits like half a year, right?
It's hard to say. Maybe he only sits a few games in December. Who knows?
No way. LeBron's going to play at least on the opening day, Christmas Day, and then on his birthday, December 30. And then he's going to chill for the rest of January.
I think if he does that, though, they're only going to be in the lower seeds for the Western Conference playoff picture, right? They're probably not going to get a top four seed, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
It's LeBron. What does LeBron care?
That's true. There's no home court advantage anyway this year, so.
Oh, man. All right. I guess we should get started. I guess we could still say it's an OKC. Chris Paul rumors are arising again. ESPN reported that, the Chris Paul trade that we had previously talked about of him going to Phoenix for, undisclosed names. We're assuming that it's Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre just because the salaries match. It's becoming more and more likely that this becomes a thing, right? And Josh, we've already talked about this multiple times, but Chris Paul, along with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, that's a nice little squad right there.
And they've got a nice little supporting cast, too. I mean, Mikal Bridges really broke out in the bubble as a possible stretch four, even though he's not very bulky, but he's a really long defensive player that can guard four positions. And this trade makes a lot of sense for where the Suns want to go if this does actually end up happening. I think Phoenix and Milwaukee are the two destinations that make the most sense. There's been a lot of talk about New York, which I sort of understand, but I don't know. In that scenario, there's so many young players in that team that really need to find their own way first. And I think that Phoenix has a couple guys that have already, come into their own with Booker and Ayton, and now Bridges coming along as well. So I think it's an ideal situation for both Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns, who want to obviously make the playoffs next year and want to win right away. And he's a big upgrade over Ricky Rubio in all facets of the game.
Yeah, I think this fit completely makes sense. I think OKC is probably going to want a little more. They might be looking for a pick as well as some of those players. Of course, with Chris Paul being a huge player in OKC's system and success last year, and the Suns went from not having a point guard for the last 3 or 4 years to arguably having one of the best point guards in the last 20 years, or some would argue one of the best point guards to play basketball in the NBA. And he's going to have an immediate impact, and that team will end up being at least a team that should be making the playoffs if they get Chris Paul. So it makes sense for the Suns. I think OKC is going to want a little more than just Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio, who, again, is probably on the decline part of his career.
A lot of the talk is centered around those two players, plus, Phoenix trading their 10th pick for Oklahoma's 25th pick in the draft as well. So if Oklahoma is able to get that haul and, get Kelly Oubre, who's on a, last year of his contract, and they're able to re-sign him for a decent amount and get the 10th pick in the draft out of this, after getting two first-round picks with Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook, which in itself was a complete steal. It just goes to show you how great their management team is with Sam Presti, just turning Chris Paul, who last year everyone looked at as albatross contract, sort of like how people look at John Wall's contract right now, and that he has 2 years left at 40-plus million, and yet he's a positive asset based on what he did last year. and they're going to be able to get pretty decent value from Phoenix or Milwaukee or New York, whoever it's going to be. It's not going to be a situation where Oklahoma has to dump him by trading their own first-round picks or second-round picks in exchange for getting another bad contract back. They're going to be able to get two expiring deals back in Oubre and, you know, Rubio, which is rumored right now, plus 10th pick in the draft, which is a nice haul if that does happen.
Remember a few years ago when the Suns had that offseason where they signed was it Isaiah Thomas, Eric Bledsoe, and Goran Dragic all at once, and they were considering running out like a three-point guard situation?
Yeah, I think they stole that right out of Vivek's playbook of playing only four guys on defense and how effective that's going to be.
Imagine that lineup, man. You're running three-point guards, and then you got like Devin Booker out there as your fourth guy. How great would that be? But I mean, what?
Oklahoma did it last year, right? You had Schroeder, SGA, and Chris Paul playing crunch time minutes all together.
Yeah, but at least SGA is tall. He might be skinny, but at least he's tall. You know, Isaiah Thomas is like 5'8".
No, for sure. I'm just saying it is possible to do a three-point guard lineup nowadays if you have the point guards that are able to pull it off and the coaching to, you know, make sure that they don't get destroyed by bigger, small forwards.
Yeah, something about the Suns' management has never struck me as, you know, something to rely on.
It's not the management, it's the ownership.
It's everything, Josh. It starts from the top. Because at that point, I don't even remember who the GM was at that point, but to sign three point guards like 5 or 6 years ago all at once, that would have been a wild idea. But I don't know, man. Even now, if you bring Chris Paul into this team, let's say you have him and Booker in the backcourt, you're running out Ayton at the five, and then Cam Johnson, I'm guessing, is your four?
Bridges.
Why wouldn't you play Bridges at the three? If you're out of Oubre and Rubio, why wouldn't you run Bridges three?
I think the idea is the Suns are going to look to also acquire either a small forward or a power forward, like a starting player, because they do have some cap space, I believe, this offseason. And, you know, a guy like Gallo makes a lot of sense in that situation, bringing him in, because him and Chris Paul work really well together. He's a free agent, and he's looking to go to a team that's looking to win, so could work.
I think he means win championships, not win, like, the seventh seed.
He also wants to get paid, though, so the Suns give him the bag, and he's in a situation where he's, like, a lower seed in the Western Conference playoffs picture. Why not?
I just told you why not. It sounds like he wants to actually win.
I don't believe that.
No. That's code for I want to get paid and I just am too afraid to outright say it like Fred Van Vliet.
Nah. Fred Van Vliet. Woo. Has everyone, Josh, did you listen to that podcast yet?
He went all in on that.
Woo, Fred, we weren't even planning to talk about this, but can we just please divert this conversation over here? Fred Van Vliet holding nothing back. Telling the world that my man wants to get paid. And the best flex of it all. Yeah, you know, I already won a championship. You know, I think it's time for me to get the bag. That is one confident dude, man. I'm very interested to see where he goes. Because, well, we've talked about it a lot. There are a lot of teams like Detroit and New York who could really use a point guard and have paid their players very well in the past to come sign with them.
Let's just all hope he doesn't go to New York and waste his career there. Just something really bad is going to happen if he goes to New York, and he's not going to be the same player in some way, shape, or form.
He'll probably try to play him at power forward or something.
I mean, with that big ass, you might be able to.
Yeah, he's not Kyle Lowry. Let's slow down here.
He's got a pretty big, he's got a lot of junk in that trunk.
Oh, man, that's cold. I don't know. What do you think the odds are that the Raptors are able to keep him? Remember, I love how he started the whole conversation off with, yeah, you know, for the last like year, I've been renting in Toronto. I haven't even lived there. You know, all my shit's already packed up. We moved out everything already. It sounded like he was already on the go. Sorry, Raptors fans.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here before Josh has a complete meltdown and give him a bit of time to process this, but I think with Fred VanVleet, he wants to be the number one option on the ball. And with Kyle Lowry still remaining on Toronto and obviously being one of the greatest Raptors of all time, he's not going to have that limelight that he wants. And I think he's pretty much come out and outright said it without us having to read between the lines that he's ready to go to a team where he may not be competing for a championship or a playoff spot, but he's the number one option on the ball. He's the one that's going to be creating, scoring, and running the show. And if that ends up being the New York Knicks, it ends up being the Knicks. If it ends up being Detroit, it could be. But I think he's probably already halfway out the door out of Toronto.
I disagree. I think he's going to re-sign. Toronto can still give him the full bag and still have a max slot come next offseason. So he's going to get his 4 years, 80 whatever million dollars. If he wants $100 million, then he can go somewhere else. Like, he can go to the Knicks at that point. He'll realize how awful it is just being the guy creating everything nonstop and being in Thibodeau's system where he's playing 44 minutes a game, which is almost what Nick Nurse put him through the last couple of years anyway. But, you know, Thibodeau's going to put him through two-a-days as well in practice. And, you know, that fat ass is going to turn skinny real quick.
I was going to say, he might thrive under Tibbs, man. Fred VanVleet seems like the kind of guy who wants to legitimately play all 48.
Thibodeau shortened his careers really quickly. And, you know, Fred VanVleet wants a long, fruitful career. It's best that he stays with Masai and Coach Docker.
Hey, Coach and you know what? You don't need a fat ass when you have a fat wallet.
True.
This is true.
This is
back up that Brinks truck.
All right, let's go back to OKC. Josh, I think OKC made a little front office movement today, too.
Yes, they...
You like that
setup? They promoted Coach Daniel.
Daniel.
I'll need to say that.
Raj, can you please correct my man here? Tell me how to say his name properly.
It's Malk Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Okay. Sorry. My apologies.
Yeah. He's going to probably look to acquire Chris Boucher or something to help.
Oh, no, that's not happening. Chris Boucher is never leaving the Raptors.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, but going back to OKC, I think they're going to reach a point, kind of what we saw with the Celtics in the past 2 years, where they have all these assets. They have a lot of young players, promising players. And what do they do to ultimately cash in? It's going to be interesting. Obviously, they have like 6 or 7 first-round draft picks in the next like 3 years. And they have a lot of young pieces, but again, this is OKC we're talking about. They don't have that market allure that a lot of other cities like New York, LA, Miami have. So, and they just hired a new coach, and this could either make or break a situation. Like, a lot of players would be incentivized to play for a new coach, a new voice. But at the same time, if they're looking to actually bring in a big fish, he might not respect the likes of a coach that most of us never heard of.
I'm calling it right now. Oklahoma is going to trade for James Harden in the next year. They have all the assets in the world. And also, you like that transition, huh? They have all the assets. They have all the draft picks. They're going to be really bad next year. And there's already been rumors, or I guess now substantiated rumors through ESPN's reporting, that, you know, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are not very happy with the direction of the Rockets. And obviously there's been rumors about Westbrook being on the market, which he has been the last year, obviously, because he has an albatross contract and he's declining. Let's just say it. He is a declining player right now, unlike Chris Paul. And I think that, you know, the situation is going in the wrong direction. I mean, based on what Kendrick Perkins said on ESPN, which you can't take with a grain of salt, obviously, James Harden hasn't been returning any phone calls from Houston executives and, you know, head coaching staff. And now the report came out from ESPN today saying that both him and Russell Westbrook aren't really happy with the direction of the team. So things are only going downhill in the Western Conference, where a lot of teams, or most of them really, are trying to win next year.
Yeah, I think the Rockets, like obviously Harden and Westbrook, are probably very upset that they actually have to play defense this year.
And Harden might actually have to pass the ball early in the shot clock and not hold the ball for 20 seconds.
Hold on. No. You got it all wrong. If James Harden doesn't want to pass the ball, he is not going to pass the ball. What's Steven Silas going to do, bench him?
I mean, if a new head coach is trying to make his mark in the NBA, that's one of the ways of doing it, right?
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's David Blatt, all right? He's not going to go around telling everybody what he's done in the past and why he deserves his position. Steven Silas doesn't strike me as that kind of coach.
You got to garner that respect somehow. I mean, it's a lesser extent, obviously, but Dwayne Casey did it with DeMar DeRozan a bunch of times, which in this case, it's not comparable, really. But
That worked out so well for DeMar.
And you got to change things up as an incoming head coach, though, right? We can't just run the same system and then run it back and then hope that things change, right? It's not going to work that way.
Yeah, I guess.
Imagine being that executive who texts Kendrick Perkins of all people and whines about James Harden not texting you back. Imagine being that person.
Apparently, that's not what happened. Apparently, Kendrick Perkins is very good friends with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, being that they were teammates on OKC. And he's been told by them allegedly that this situation occurred. So these guys who run the organization are telling Perk, I'm texting back these fools. I'm texting Raphael Stone or Steven Silas. Come on, man. Again, you can't really believe anything Kendrick Perkins says, but, you know, based on the report that came out yesterday from, you know, Windhorst and Tim Bontemps, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because Houston doesn't really have any avenue of changing their current roster in a big way. Because they signed Eric Gordon to that extension. They have James Harden, Russell Westbrook for $35 million plus a year. They have Covington left at, 13 to 15 million. They just don't have any cap space to do anything unless they really change things up and trade Westbrook for what? Like, what are you going to get for Russell Westbrook in this market? Or teams are not looking to add on a $40 million player unless
Blake Griffin.
Chris Paul.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah, but I don't think Detroit's going to want to actually get Westbrook in the process. The problem is, like, I think since probably 2014, 2015, there are some really bad contracts in the NBA. And we all know the names and the likes of those players. But now that we're in, like, 2020, going into the 2020-2021 season, a lot of those contracts have expired, and the NBA teams are a little more reluctant to give out these big contracts. So you can't even do what Brooklyn did, taking on all those bad contracts, or what Atlanta did when taking on all those bad contracts. Like, there aren't as many bad contracts that teams have that can equate to Russell Westbrook.
I got it. We send Russell Westbrook to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Nicholas Batum and Cody Zeller.
Yeah, that's going to make James Harden really happy.
James Harden gets to run the team on his own again, like he loves. He gets a big man, a serviceable big man in Cody Zeller. And, maybe Nicholas Batum can hit one shot in a game.
Maybe. Yeah,
he gets the corpse of Nicholas Batum in the backcourt.
Yeah. I love that Nicholas Batum is always a guy. But how old do you think Nicholas Batum is?
He's like 30. It doesn't make any sense how he, his decline was so quick. It doesn't make any sense. He's not even fat. It's not like a Diaw situation.
Yeah, he's 31. This guy signed, he signed his contract at what would be the peak of every other NBA player's career. Like that age range, you know, that's like when you're in your best, like when your physical condition and your IQ intersect at the top point. And Nicholas Batum's, I mean, his IQ is pretty high because he got paid and he's just chilling.
His trajectory, too, is like an Andre Iguodala type, mid-career trajectory where he just does a bit of everything and he's a really useful player and he can fit in with any roster. And all of a sudden, he just couldn't play basketball anymore. I want to see the 30 for 30 on Nicholas Batum's career and what actually happened in the last 2 years.
I can't wait. It's going to be in French. We'll probably need Raj to translate it for us, though.
He probably went on like one of the Diaw cruises in the summer, and then something changed at that point. They went on like the French Peninsula, and then something happened, and it just, I don't know. Maybe the Monstars took his talent. Who knows?
What if you send Terry Rozier instead of Nicholas Batum? Then would that be appealing to James Harden?
That's also very exciting. Do you see the excitement on my face right now?
You should be excited. This way, at least the Hornets get another Jordan player and Russell Westbrook, you know, Jordan brand loyalty. And you know, the Rockets get a young point guard who's mediocre at best.
I think you're gonna have to attach, draft picks to Westbrook at this point for any team to take him. Even Charlotte. I know you want to get fans in the stands and everything, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, but what draft picks did the Rockets have?
I think they can only legally trade another draft pick in like 2023 or something like that, based on the Stepien rule where you can't trade draft picks in consecutive years.
Yeah.
And Morey's traded a lot of draft picks the last couple of years, so.
Yeah, Daryl Morey, man, knew he was on his way out and just sabotaged this team's roster. Good for him. Smart man.
I mean, he was forced into the Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook trade, so.
Yeah, but he wasn't forced into getting rid of his only big man. Or his only serviceable big man. Sorry, they still have Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, at least he's being creative.
Yeah, I guess, if that's how you want to look at it, man. Daryl Morey can never do any wrong on the internet, apparently. All right, let's move on. Another rumor that's come out today about Jrue Holiday, everyone's favorite target these days, on the potential move to the Atlanta Hawks. Raj, how does Holiday fit onto this team when you're looking at, you know, Trae Young as your main point guard, John Collins as your guy, and then you got a lot of young wings. That's all they drafted last year. Where would you fit Jrue Holiday onto this team?
Well, obviously, Jrue Holiday makes any NBA team better just because his skill set is something that wins you basketball games. And especially if your team is hoping to make the playoffs or make a big playoff push. And I think him complementing with Trae Young in the backcourt is great because he can probably help cover for Trae Young's defensive liabilities a little. Obviously, no one can fully like completely wipe out Trae Young's defensive inefficiencies, but he's a very good defender. He doesn't need the ball on offense to be effective. He knows how to make his cuts, how to get his baskets. He's not a volume player. He's actually managed in the last couple of years to put up pretty good assist totals and get other players involved. And I think it's a good fit in terms of him going to Atlanta. I can see them starting off with a lineup with Trae Young, Jrue Holiday, probably eventually going to have Hunter playing the three, and then have John Collins and Clint Capella. Again, that's kind of the little issue who they're going to play really up top. But they have enough pieces, and I think with him coming in, I think they would probably have to get rid of like a player like I think Reddish. And who's the other shooting guard? He's escaping my memory.
Herder.
Kevin Herter. Yeah, those players would probably be on the outs.
You'd have to trade them. I think the whole idea is you'd be trading the sixth pick in the draft with some contracts for Jrue Holiday. I don't think that Holiday's value is, sixth pick in the draft plus a really good prospect like those guys. Because I actually like both those guys. And I think that, they're what, 20, 21 years old? And, they've shown some flashes, especially Herter. Like last year, he had a couple different stretches where he was really good. He's not quite ready yet to be like a, top level shooting guard, but he's shown flashes that he can be in a couple of years. The one thing that confuses me about all this, though, is like why Atlanta feels like they have to make the playoffs next year and why management is pushing this because their roster isn't anywhere close to being able to make the playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference, which probably has seven teams that are pretty much guaranteed to make the playoffs as long as they don't have some insane, devastating injury. So you're basically playing for one spot, and you're playing to get destroyed in the playoffs by Milwaukee or, whoever else is a top seed in the East next year. So I just think that they're going too quickly. But overall, if the trade itself, it's like the sixth pick and, a couple contracts for Jrue Holiday, then it's not bad because it speeds up, the trajectory of Atlanta, like where they want to go, but I just don't think their young players are quite ready to make that leap yet.
It would have to be Dwayne Dedman as the contract that they get rid of, right? Like he's making 13. Drew's making, I think, somewhere close to 20 this year, right?
Yeah, I don't think they
26.
have to match the contracts though, because Atlanta has cap space, so I think they might be able to take in a majority of Jrue's contract. It might just be like the sixth pick in the draft for Jrue if they have enough cap space to just take him on.
But I thought don't contracts have to be somewhat close for the trade? It has to be like within 75%, doesn't it?
I don't think so. I think they have to trade one contract, but I don't think it has to be within 75. But okay. I think we've seen in the past where draft picks have been traded for players, you know, straight up, to where the team that gets the incoming salary is able to take that on because they have cap space. But yeah. I'm not a CBA expert, so maybe I'm wrong.
Actually, I guess that's how Drew was even sent to New Orleans originally, right? He was sent for the draft pick that became Nerlens way back when.
I'm not sure what else was traded in that trade, though. I'll check.
I think it was just a one for one at that point. You're probably right. I mean, it is strange that Atlanta is really forcing the situation here when you put it like that, because it is a very young team, right? Capella would be their, aside from Drew Holiday, is their like oldest role player or any type of rotation player at this point at 26 years old. You're looking at building around Trae Young, who's 22. Herter is also 22. John Collins, 23. And those are your older guys. John Collins is like a four-year player at this point. And he's considered your like one-year veterans on the team. And Raj, obviously you know John Collins' story very well from last year. He was suspended for 25 games for alleged PED usage. So I don't know if you want that kind of personality as your veteran. I mean, maybe that's why they're pushing for someone like Drew Holiday, as someone who's, you know, established in the league and a calming veteran presence.
Yeah, and again, he gives them a lot more defensive prowess. And the key thing is they needed to pair Trae Young with another backcourt partner that perfectly complements him. And I think Drew Holiday is that player because he's good defensively. He knows how to get others involved. And he doesn't need the ball to be effective on offense. And it's hard to find players like that at that level.
Yeah, and I think this move has to lead into the Atlanta Hawks getting more veteran presence in their starting lineup as well. I think that, you know, if you're going to go, not all in, obviously, but if you're going to trade the sixth pick in the draft for Drew Holiday, you then have to look for a starting small forward, I think, to, you know, balance that lineup out and then have this, you know, younger guys come off the bench. Because I don't think, you know, Hunter's even ready to become like a quality small forward for a playoff team. So I think you get like a stopgap type of guy for a year or two. And then once either him or Herter are, you know, good enough to be able to play that position consistently, or you can count on them on a nightly basis, then you look to, you know, put them in the starting lineup at that point. But if you're looking to actually win next year, I think that this move has to lead into them getting a starting small forward as well.
Well, it is supposed to be a multi-team trade too, so who really knows where, you know, what that third or fourth team could actually be offering into this. A lot of variables out there for this hypothetical situation. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Drew Holiday ends up with the Nuggets somehow without having to surrender Michael Porter Jr., but, you know, that's obviously my own hometown bias here.
All right. I hope the same. I hope that, you know, Denver's able to get Holiday or Bradley Beal. Yeah. Or maybe Harden.
No, I'll pass on James. I'll take Beal, though. Beal's great.
Everyone loves Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I'll gladly take Bradley Beal. We got to move on, man. The NBA draft is next week, November 18th. And then I think 2 days after is when free agency starts. So, you know, next week's going to be pretty busy for the league. Let's just do this quickly. I mean, we got to talk about some of these guys, right? You're looking at guys like James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball. Who do we have? Going 1, 2, 3. Do it quick, Josh. Who do you have?
I think ultimately Minnesota's going to trade the pick, but if it stays as is, I think that they're probably going to draft Anthony Edwards first, because he just fits their roster composition right now. And I don't think bringing LaMelo Ball into that situation would be a good, because they're bringing the reality TV show down there as well. And I just don't think LaMelo Ball is going to be happy in Minnesota, where it's basically like where we live in Canada for 7 months of the year. And I just don't think he's a good fit on the roster either, because he just traded for a point guard, right? And I don't think he's going to be happy with coming off the bench either. So I don't think they're going to take LaMelo Ball, but maybe I'll be wrong. Second pick in the draft, I think that's a pretty easy one. I think Wiseman's going to go to Golden State if they don't trade that pick. And I'm going to predict that the Knicks trade up to get LaMelo Ball. I think it's going to happen. There's been a lot of rumors about that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think that he wants to be in that kind of situation where, you know, all the bright lights are on him because he seems to enjoy that with his reality TV show. So let's get him on the Knicks and put all the pressure in the world on his shoulders.
Is it confirmed that he's taking the show with him? Because I thought the show follows Lonzo right now, doesn't it?
I'm sure he can get a contract if he wants to continue that TV show on his own.
He's got that Facebook Facebook money.
What if he drops to number 6 and then the Pelicans end up getting him?
LaMelo, Lonzo, and Zion? Now you're talking.
But they sign LiAngelo too?
No, no one wants to sign LiAngelo. Not even the D-League wants LiAngelo. No, thank you. But that's a long way to fall. I don't think any of the teams before that would actually let him go. Raj, what are you looking at with this draft here?
Well, for me, I think what the big question for me is what Golden State does with their draft pick, because they're a team where their talent is probably more in a win now. And of course, the organization had a big down year with their injuries to Steph and Clay, and obviously losing KD in the offseason. So I think their team knows that, you know what, their window to really compete is probably in the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years. And if they get a player there, besides Wiseman, there isn't probably a player that's going to have as big of an impact as they could get if they traded away that second pick. And they have options. They can definitely package that pick with a player, obviously, like Andrew Wiggins, and we've joked about the idea, but they could get a very good player in return. It just seems as though, in terms of rumors, that there's not many teams that are interested in Wiggins, and right now a lot of teams are probably being very patient, knowing that the Warriors are kind of in this position where they probably want to get rid of this pick, but they want something good in return for all that tanking.
Yo, low-key, I'm kind of excited to see Andrew Wiggins with Steph and with Clay. I mean, as like the third or maybe even fourth option, Wiggins can work, man. I'm not out on this kid fully yet. Josh, I know you're not a fan, but like aside from his ridiculous contract, as a third or fourth option, it's not bad. You give me 16 points a game as a third, that's great. That's found money.
If he can do it efficiently, he's never shown that he's been able to do the stuff off the ball that he needs to if he's on a team with Steph and Clay and Draymond, being an excellent cutter and spotting up for three-point shots. He's a guy who likes to hold the ball and take mid-range step backs and fadeaways. So will he ever change? Maybe, but, you know, what is he, like year 7 now?
Yeah, but you also got to think about the coaches that he's had too, though, and the team itself. Like Minnesota's organization is not very stable. Whereas you're coming into Golden State, everyone knows their role, right? Steve Kerr came in as a rookie coach and won the title. Obviously, he was helped by the roster, but it's that kind of organizational structure that should, in theory, put him into the right direction.
You say all this now, and he's going to get traded on draft day.
Maybe he will. I hope he doesn't. But if he doesn't get traded, no one else is going to get traded off that team. So, yeah, I don't know. This draft is kind of strange because you're right. I can't see LaMelo going to Minnesota after they've did everything they could to trade for D'Angelo Russell. Right? Anthony Edwards would be the best fit, theoretically. Or you can't put Wiseman and Towns together, can you? That'd be a weird fit.
No, I can't see that. I can only see them taking him to trade him later on, whether it's at the deadline or maybe just like a delayed trade on draft night.
Isn't the 21 draft is supposed to be much better than this, right?
Oh, yeah. There's supposed to be miles six ahead. Or seven prospects that are like top-notch guys who would go number one in this draft.
Yeah, okay. Well, you have any good sleepers in this draft, Josh?
Sleepers? I don't know too much about the draft, to be honest. So, honestly, right now, no, not really.
This guy, man. At the 40 spot right now, projected to be going to the Memphis Grizzlies, Udoka Azubuike. That's my guy. Yeah. Give me more Azubuikes.
Is he related to Kalina?
Probably. That's why I want him. Maybe Denver can scoop in and grab him.
I'm interested to see how like RJ Hampton plays and where he goes in the draft, just based on all the hype and him going to Australia. Or was it Australia or New Zealand? It's New Zealand, right?
No, I think it was Australia.
It was Australia because he played with LaMelo.
Yeah. Shows on his profile. He's with New Zealand Breakers.
Oh, maybe. My bad.
Yeah. Anyways, he's projected to go with the 15th pick in the draft, and he was one of the higher ranked guys before the year started. And it seems like he just dropped. So he's a guy I think you should, obviously look at because he has a lot of talent, obviously. And then, outside of him, Nico Mannion's in this draft. Remember Nico Mannion? He has all these like crazy mixtapes, and that's how he got famous. And then he signed with Arizona last year.
As if you said he signed with Arizona.
Or whatever, he got recruited by Arizona.
These kids don't get paid, Josh. Come on now.
Yeah, clearly. It's not like DeAndre Ayton got paid, right?
Oh, that's gold. All right, shall we move on? Can we do a little stats corner?
Oh, we can definitely do Stats Corner.
Oh, yes. Bring it back.
Yes. So, first we're going to go to defense. So, in terms of deflections per game this year, let's see if you guys can, we'll go with three guesses each, name two guys in the top five in terms of total deflections per game.
Ooh.
And I'll give you a hint. It's no big men. They're all guards or small forwards. Or forwards, I should say.
I'm going to go say Drew Holiday.
Drew is number two at four deflections a game.
Nice.
On topic.
Give me big Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is number three at 3.9 per game. You guys are actually doing pretty well. I'm quite shocked.
Give me Fred VanVleet.
He's number one at 4.2 per game. Look at you guys. You're going to sweep the board.
Wow.
I've been studying, man, this offseason. This offseason.
This long extended offseason for Raj has been all studying.
3 for 3 so far.
I don't even know where to go anymore. Paul George?
Paul George is incorrect.
Damn.
He's number 13. Way down,
what a loser.
PG-13. He's number 13.
Hey.
Lucky number 13, right?
Exactly. You got two more guesses.
Yeah. All right. Oof. Is there a minimum number of games played or no?
I don't believe so. This guy was injured for a good chunk of the year, but he turned into a defensive stopper this year.
Give us a conference, at least.
Eastern. Bad team.
Interesting. A defensive stopper on a bad team? Does that exist?
It does.
Hmm.
He's going to be highly sought after by contending teams this year, I think, as a backup point guard.
Oh, a point guard. Damn. I'm blanking
here.
And
the other guy is a superstar, just to give you an idea.
Is the other guy Kawhi?
Yes. 3.5 per game. Can you get the last one, though?
Damn, a point guard in the East, a stopper, and a free agent?
Yes.
Wow.
I believe he's a free agent, yes.
It'd be hilarious if you were just making that part up.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Or just describing Fred VanVleet all over again.
Yeah. Bad team, right?
Yeah. Bad team.
Honestly, I'm drawing blanks, but
they have the fourth pick in the draft this year. That doesn't help me at all, does it?
No, I only go top three.
Who the hell? Oh, Chicago. Satoransky?
Nope. The other guy.
Who the hell do they have running their point?
He actually played small four for a good chunk of this year, even though he's 6'3".
There's no way it's LaVine.
No.
Yeah, why are we blanking on this? This is awful.
He got drafted by Minnesota and got traded to Chicago. He was supposed to be the next Dwayne Wade.
Oh, campaign?
That's a hard no.
You like that, eh? Campaign reference?
Yeah.
Chris Dunn.
Wow, Chris Dunn.
Okay, next. I don't care about Chris Dunn. You have to play an X amount of minutes per game. How many minutes did he play per year? Per game?
I think you'd be surprised how many minutes he played this year. He was up in the 30s, I believe.
24.9.
He started a lot of games, though.
Yeah, he had 30 last year. I totally forgot about Chris Dunn. Wow, what a reference.
Yeah.
So the next one's a little bit easier for you, okay? You started off well, but this one you should get pretty easily. So in terms of total contested shots per game, can you give me the top five?
Like players who contested shots or players who had their shots contested?
Players who contested shots. This is all big men.
Give me Giannis.
Giannis, surprisingly, is not anywhere near the top 30.
Wow, what a scrub.
No one shoots around him. Give me Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert is number two at 16.4 contested shots per game.
Joel?
Joel is not in the top five nor the top 10. I don't even see him on this list until about 25.
Wow, I'm awful at this.
Give me Brooke Lopez.
Number one at 19 per game, just based on how Milwaukee's defense leads everyone into Brooke. So well done, Raj.
Oh, man.
Yeah, three more guesses.
I'm going to go 0 for 5 on this, man. AD.
AD is not in the top 5. He's just outside the top 10.
Oh, come on, man. What is this? Are your sources on this reliable?
Yeah, a lot of that's due to the Lakers switching and him being on the perimeter, right? So you got to think about teams that play the drop defense.
Okay. What about Bam?
Because Miami switches a lot, he is not anywhere near the top 10. He is in the 20s.
Just because I haven't said his name yet. Give me Andre Drummond.
Drummond is number 8 at 13 per game.
I had to get a Detroit reference in there, even though he doesn't play for Detroit anymore.
One of these guys plays for a team that we mentioned early in the podcast.
The hell? Okay.
It's Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is not in the top 5.
Aiden.
He doesn't play enough minutes.
There you go. DeAndre Aiden, number 3, 15.5 per game.
Damn. Yeah, playing 15 games. Motherfucker has bum ankles after steroid use.
Wow. That was needlessly aggressive, but I like it.
Hatred for his fantasy team always comes out at the end of the podcast.
I was going to say we should invite Raj into our fantasy league, but hearing that he went over 30 last year, I don't think he's worthy.
Hey, chill. I had two players, two of my top three players had PED problems for 25 weeks. And without 25 games. And without that, I would have been halfway through my league without those first 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah, if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
Yep, this is also true. All right, how many more do we need?
You got two more. One's a notorious stat pattern, and the other guy is up for an extension this year and might get traded due to the team's current situation and trying to win right now.
What? Are you telling me Russell Westbrook is there? For both of those. See? You like that?
Not bad.
Let's see. Notorious stat pattern, eh?
Probably the biggest stat pattern in the NBA.
Marquise Chris?
What did you just say?
You have to play minutes to stat pad.
Marquise Chris. Kevon Looney?
Yeah. No, he's not a stat padder. Come on now.
Who's the biggest stat padder of center in the NBA, bar none?
Andre Drummond, bro. I already said him.
All right. Second, man. I don't think he's actually second, but he's still first in my mind. Who's second, then?
On a bad team, we're assuming here?
They were a fringe playoff team this year. He started for most of the year until the other center.
Oh, Hassan Whiteside.
There you go. Hassan Whiteside, 14 contested shots per game. And then the last one is a young center on an Eastern Conference team up for extension. Their team signed two superstar players recently. And those two players might get everyone on the team traded.
Joe Allen? Not Joe Allen, oh my God. Jared Allen.
Joe Harris Allen.
Was it Jared Allen?
Yeah, it is Jared Allen.
He's up for extension this year?
He is.
The Raptors should go hard and get him.
No. Yeah. No, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, they're not going to get Gasol. He'd be great in that role.
Yeah, but then you got to pay him, and then you give all of his money away when you're trying to get Giannis next year. So that's not going to be happening.
Wait, is Marc Gasol actually gone? Is that confirmed?
No. He has not gone back to Spain yet. That's all. That's just a rumor.
Wow, Marc Gasol not actually leaving Toronto. This is
Marc
the real
Gasol
breakthrough.
Is going to be Jokic's backup next year. That's my prediction.
I don't want fat-ass Marc Gasol there.
No, Marc Gasol's still a good player, man.
Yeah.
Especially in a backup role, that's solid.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if he trains in the altitude, he'll get used to it, but I don't trust him. All right, let's wrap it up, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Stretch4Pod. Until next time, peace.